Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Luke. Now to Pastor Chris.
Luke 11 today on Through the Word, with some essential lessons on one of life's most important habits, prayer, plus some serious warnings against religious hypocrisy. First, Jesus teaches us to pray at Luke 11:1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So the disciples make a request, but notice they don't say, "Teach us how to pray," but just, "Teach us to pray." Possibly the most important key to prayer is simply praying. Just talk to God as one of your essential life habits, like eating and washing. Now, the prayer that Jesus gives is known as the Lord's Prayer, which you've likely recited before. But keep in mind, Jesus never said to repeat this as if it's some magic incantation. This is a model prayer, short, sweet, simple, and honest. Jesus doesn't say to just repeat it. He tells us to pray it, and it's a model for the way we should pray. In verse 2, he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Now, the elements of this prayer provide a model for us of how we can pray. First of all, Jesus tells us that we can call God Father. Never forget what a privilege it is to talk to God as your dad. Next up, reverence for God. Hallowed be your name. Our respect for God's great name. Your kingdom come. This is our hope. When we pray to God, pray with hopefulness. In his kingdom, we serve him as king, and we pray for his kingdom to be established here on earth. Give us each day our daily bread. We pray for our needs, not our wants, but our needs, and we trust in his faithfulness to provide. Forgive us our sins. We repent and ask for his mercy, knowing that he is faithful to forgive. As we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Now, because God forgives us, our response is to show the same mercy to anyone who has wronged us. Lead us not into temptation. We ask for God's leading in life. We need direction for where to go, but we need to make sure we're not asking him to lead us according to our foolish desires, but to lead us along his path. Moving on, Jesus tells a story as an example for us to be persistent in prayer. God is not a genie in a bottle granting wishes. Prayer should be real, and you should take time to talk things out and to be patient for his reply, but be persistent as well. And then in verse 9, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Now, when Jesus calls us to ask, to seek, to knock, the verb tense that he uses in the original Greek translation is something we can't quite capture in English. It's a continual asking and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep on knocking. The reality that Jesus wants to teach us is that God hears your prayers and he responds. Why? Because he loves you like a father. In verse 11, he says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus here reminds us who we're talking to. God is not a magic genie, but he is not a heartless, grumpy old man who doesn't care to help you either. He's a father who loves his kids, and he takes great care of us, doesn't he? Not spoiling, always faithful. In Psalm 84, it tells us the Lord will withhold no good thing from those who love him. And the most important thing to pray for, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, and God will not hold back the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And then in verse 14, Jesus drives out a demon, and in spite of the miracles, the skeptics challenge Jesus again. Some accused him of being powered by Beelzebub. That's another name for Satan or the devil. Then in verse 16, it says, "Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven." You can read Jesus' response to the Satan accusation at verse 17, but let's see if he's willing to show a sign in verse 29. "As the crowds increased, Jesus said, 'This is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. So a wicked generation is asking for a sign. Now, they've seen countless signs and miracles, so why do they demand a sign now? Do they need more proof from Jesus? The truth is, they don't want to listen, and this is their excuse. An excuse not to listen to God. John 1 says that light came into the world, that's Jesus, but men hid from the light because they loved their darkness. But Romans 1 tells us that man is without excuse. There is no excuse that will stand up before God on Judgment Day. Now, Jesus does offer one sign. He calls it the sign of Jonah. You may remember that Jonah was the guy who went in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, and then he was spit out on the land, and then he testified to the Ninevites. Jesus explains another place that the sign of Jonah means that he will go into the earth. He will die and on the third day be raised to life again. The one key evidence that Jesus offers to substantiate all his claims is his resurrection. Whenever anybody asks you for a sign, take them back to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he conquered death on that day. Then in verse 31, the queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. The queen of the south is another Old Testament character. She came to listen to Solomon because she heard that he was a wise man. She searched out wisdom when she heard about it. We have no excuse. We are called to seek and find wisdom when we hear of it. And then at verse 32, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. This brings us back to the story of Jonah and the Ninevites. The Ninevites were awful people, but when Jonah showed up and preached the word of God, they repented. They turned their hearts back to God. They didn't even seek God, but when God sent the truth to them, they listened and repented. Again, no excuses. For you and I, the truth has come to us. How can we refuse and not be judged? Next up in verse 33, Jesus talks about light and darkness, and which you choose to allow into your soul through your eyes. Throughout the Bible, light and darkness are used to picture good and evil, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. God is light. In him, there is no darkness. Light reveals color and beauty all around. It gives us vision and understanding. Light helps us see each other and be seen as we are, honest with each other. Light reveals truth. As C.S. Lewis said, "I believe in Christianity like I believe the sun has risen, not because I see it, but because by it I see everything." Jesus calls us to let the light of God enter into our whole being, hiding nothing in darkness. The chapter ends with six woes. These are warnings to those religious hypocrites who claim to follow God but are still hiding their true nature in the darkness. Read Luke chapter 11 today. Let the light of God's word enter your heart and shine a light on your path and brighten up your life.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries in Diamondhead, Mississippi. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.